بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention, our hearts, to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our lesson, we'll be talking about the signs of the Day of Judgment, as mentioned by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank. We'll give brief explanation, inshallah, about these signs, and maybe we'll assign a specific lesson about these signs in the future, inshallah. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, said, "We believe in the signs of the judgment day, such as the emergence of Ad-Dajjal, the imposter, the descent of Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary, may peace be upon him, from the heavens, the rising of the sun from its setting place, and the emergence of the earth animal, the earth beast known as Dabbatul Ard, from its place." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in many hadith about the signs of the Day of Judgment. He mentioned the minor signs and the major signs. The minor signs are numerous. However, the major signs are 10, mentioned in one hadith. The minor signs will give indication that we are approaching the Day of Judgment. But that closeness is not as close as the major signs. The major signs follow the minor signs, and they will indicate a very close approach to the Day of Judgment, which is called the hour, as-sa'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in many verses the term as-sa'ah. Yas'alunaka 'anis-sa'ah. They ask you about the hour, meaning the hour of the happening of Judgment Day, when the hour will take place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this ayah: يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها. They ask you about the hour, when it's going to happen. قل فيما أنت من ذكراها. It means you have no idea about the exact time of the happening of the hour. So even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself does not know when the hour will take place. In another ayah, it means that they ask you about the hour. Tell them its time is only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other ayahs as well. So Allah referred to the day of the judgment as the hour when it's going to happen. And there are signs for the hour, minor signs and major signs. The minor signs, as we mentioned, precede the major signs, and they are numerous. Most of them have already happened, most of them. And we are very close to starting the major signs. And once the first major sign happens, the rest will follow quickly. It's like you have the beads, the one that they use for tasbih. If you have the bead that you use for tasbih, if it gets ripped, see how they fall one after another quickly? This is what's going to happen. So once the first sign happens of the major signs, the rest will follow quickly. But the minor signs are extended across a very long period of time. For instance, Allah Ta'ala said, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ. So at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the non-believers asked the Prophet to give him a sign that he is truthful. And the sign was to split the moon. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to the moon, and by the power of Allah it split into two halves. One above the mountain, one below the mountain. Made it split into two halves. So that is a sign, indication of the approach of the Day of Judgment. And that was more than 1400 years ago. Also in the hadith of Tamim ibn Aws al-Dari, when he was with some other people in a ship, then they got lost in the sea, in the ocean. The wind took him right and left to the deep sea. They lost their way back. They ended up on an island. They went down to that island and they saw the imposter Ad-Dajjal. Because Ad-Dajjal is alive. He's been alive for a long period of time. He was before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The angels chained him with chains, and he won't be able to break these chains before the time designated for his emergence. So they saw him, and he started asking them questions. Among the questions that he asked, because he knows the Arabic language as well, he asked them, did such and such happen? Did such and such happen? Until he said, did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerge? Did he receive the revelation? Because he knows that this Arab prophet, at the end of the time, the seal of the prophets will emerge, and his emergence is a sign, a close sign for his emergence, for Ad-Dajjal's emergence. So he wanted to know if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born and received the revelation. When he knew that the Prophet was born and he already received the revelation, he knew that his time is very close. And that was 1400 years ago. Now, after they finished with Ad-Dajjal, they went back to the ship and they managed to come back to their land. Before they reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet gathered the companions and said to them, your friend Tamim ibn Aws with other people were in a ship and they got lost. It took him far away. They reached an island. They met with Ad-Dajjal. He asked them about such and such. So he explained all the incidents that took place, all the events that took place with them until they came back. So when Tamim and his friends arrived, people asked them and they mentioned the same story as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. So that confirms the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ad-Dajjal is the first major sign. We said there are 10. Ad-Dajjal, the imposter, is the first 10 major signs. He will emerge after Al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Al-Mahdi is nearly the last minor sign. When Al-Mahdi emerges, Al-Mahdi is a person that will be a righteous person. He will learn, he will be a mujtahid from the top scholars. He's from Medina and his two parents are from Medina. His name is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the day of judgment will not occur until a person from my descendants, meaning he is from Ahlul Bayt, from my descendants will emerge. His name is like my name and his father's name is like my father's name. So his name is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. He will fill the earth with justice as it will be filled with injustice and transgression at that time and corruption. So amongst the signs of judgment is that the earth will be filled with corruption and injustice and excessive killing. And this is happening these days, the excessive killing. In the past, we used to hear every now and then about a murder taking place in that place or in that place, maybe 3-4 people getting killed and the like. But these days, just count, we lost count. How many are getting killed each day? So that excessive killing is amongst the signs of the day for judgment. So when the earth will be filled with injustice, corruption, transgression, excessive killing, and the like, Al-Mahdi will emerge. Muslims will follow him. He will be the caliph of the time. And there will be an angel supporting him. And that angel will be calling and saying, this is Khalifatullah Al-Mahdi. Follow him. Everyone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for to be able to hear the voice of the angel will be able to hear it. So that's why the hearts of the believers will be attracted to Al-Mahdi. In a short period of time, he will have all these Muslims following him and supporting him. And he will bring them victory and justice, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But till that time comes, there are numerous signs, minor signs, that will take place. Most of them have already happened, and we'll give some examples. Among these signs, we're talking about the minor signs, are excessiveness in drinking alcohol. And this is happening. Just imagine how many pubs and clubs and the like are around the world. And imagine sometimes in one night how many people will be drinking alcohol in one night. Also amongst the minor signs, excessiveness in committing adultery and fornication. And this is happening as well. Unfortunately, even in Islamic countries, you see now this sin happening and occurring a lot. This is amongst the signs of the day of judgment. Also, people will be competing in building high-rise buildings. Like they built one in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia, they built one in Dubai. They wanted to make it higher. They built the twin towers, they call them, in Malaysia. In other countries, they wanted to make higher as well. People will be competing in building high-rise buildings. This is amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith narrated by Muslim was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam, who came to the Prophet in the shape of a human being wearing white clothes with black hair and sat before the Prophet and put his knees against the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and placed his hands on his thighs. And he said, O Muhammad, he asked him about al-Iman, al-Islam, al-Ihsan. Then he asked him about the hour, as-sa'ah, when it's going to happen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that he is Jibreel. And he said to him, the one who is asked has no more knowledge about it than the one who is asking. Meaning, I don't know when it's going to happen, as you do not know when it's going to happen. Then he said to him, so tell me about its signs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned these signs. أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. So he mentioned these two. First, أن تلد الأمة ربتها. Now literally it means when the female slave delivers her mistress. That's the meaning of it literally. The matters that used to happen. A person would marry a female slave, so he is free, he is not a slave, but she is a slave. So he would marry a female slave. Now, when she gets pregnant and she delivers a baby, that baby, Islamically, will follow the father. So, and that baby will be classified as free, not a slave. Because he came from a root that is free. So he will be classified, he or she, and whatever that baby is, will be classified as free. Now, when she delivers a baby girl, the baby girl will be free. She's like mistress. And the mother is a slave. So she gave birth to baby girl that is free. So she's like a mistress for her mother. That's one phase of it. That was in the past. But some scholars said, this hadith means there will be excessiveness in treating parents in a bad way and harming parents immensely. That a mother would give birth to a baby girl, and that baby girl, as she grows up, she treats her mother as if her mother is a slave for her. Mom, get me this, mom, get me that. And if the mother doesn't get what the daughter asked for, she will be extremely upset. She starts screaming at her mother as if her mother is a slave for her. And this is happening these days. You know how many times it happens that a lady would ask her mother, Mom, don't forget, I want you to buy me such and such. If the mother was busy cleaning the house, cooking for her and her brothers and sisters, and she didn't have time to go and buy her what she wanted, she screams at her mother. Even now, you know how hard for mothers these days to ask of their daughters to help them in the house. In house chores, like what they do every day, cleaning, washing the dishes and the like. And if the mother were to say to her daughter, come and clean the dishes, wash them, she starts screaming and saying words that will break the heart of the mother. Far out, I don't want to do it now. Why me? So the mother will feel upset. Any type of this treatment that breaks the heart of the mother is classified as a major sin. Is classified as a major sin. And this is a message for the young girls. Remember, if you treat your mothers in a bad way, you might have children in the future that will treat you in the same way. So that's why be kind to your parents. So inshallah, your children in the future will be kind to you as well. So some scholars said this is the meaning of the hadith, excessiveness in harming parents immensely. Even, I'm not talking about only girls, you find boys as well and sons who treat their parents in a bad way, wal-ayyazu billah. Someone mentioned to me that he was talking to a person and that person mentioned to him that he hits his father. He hits him. Imagine hitting his father. They mentioned a story of a person who was very bad to his father and he used to treat him in a bad way and harm him a lot. And one day, he was extremely upset. We talk about the son. And he started kicking his father, pushing him and kicking him. And he dragged him outside the house. As he dragged him outside the house, he was pushing him and kicking him. He reached a place maybe 20 meters away from the house. And the father looked at his son and said, "Enough, my son. Up to here, I did the same with my father." So meaning, don't go further. This is what I did with my father previously. Now you are doing the same to me. It could happen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that عقوق الوالدين, harming parents immensely, is one of the sins that the person would be expecting to be punished in this life with what is saved for him in the hereafter, on top of what is saved for him of punishment in the hereafter. Harming parents immensely, in most cases, could lead to you getting punished in this life before the hereafter. So that's why, if you want your life to be blessed, if you want your life to be easy going, facilitated for you, make sure you please your parents. Make them happy. This is an endowment that you might not appreciate until you lose it, when it's gonna be too late. So even if you say, "I wish my father comes back to life, I wish my mother comes back to life, I'm ready to do such and such," that's too late. This is not going to happen. So if you have your parents now alive, this is a great endowment. Some people didn't have the chance to see their parents or one of them. Maybe they were raised as orphans, or the mother died while she was giving birth to them, or they were very young, so they grew up and they don't know what a mother means. That is very hard. The mother is something in your life that, honestly, like the one who knows what it means, would appreciate it. One of the scholars used to refuse to eat with his mother. You know why? He would just look at her eating. And they ask him, "And why?" He says, I wait until she finishes. Once she gets up, I start eating because I'm worried. Maybe she puts her eye on something, on a spot in the dish that she wanted to take this bite, and I don't know, and I take it instead. To that extent, some in the past used to be very cautious about these matters. When it comes to parents, you know what does it mean. Bilal al-Khawwas, one of the righteous Muslims, was walking in an open place like a desert, suddenly he saw someone walking next to him. He asked him, "I ask you by Allah to answer me, who are you?" And he said, "I am Al-Khadr." Al-Khadr is a prophet that is alive, still alive. He said, "I am Al-Khadr." So he asked him questions. Then after that he said to him, "What made me meet with you? What did I do in my life to get that privilege to meet with you?" He said, "Being kind with your mother. Being kind with your mother gave you that privilege to meet with a prophet in reality, not in a dream. In reality, that's a great honor for one to have the chance to meet with Al-Khadr alayhi salam, because he's still alive. Imagine you are sitting with a prophet, talking to a prophet. That's a very great merit." He got it because he was kind to his mother. So amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment is excessiveness in عقوق الوالدين, harming parents immensely, unfortunately. The way they talk to their parents, no respect. They show a bad attitude when talking to parents. And if they know what they should do when talking to their parents, they should treat them as kings and queens. That's your father, this is your mother. This is how you should treat them, in a very, very nice way. Also amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment, we talk about the minor signs. When people compete in decorating mosques. Now you know those who are building mosques around the world, the decoration they make inside the mosque is so appealing to an extent that the person wouldn't have khushua when he goes inside that mosque. If he wants to pray, he starts looking around. So he doesn't focus on his prayer. He gets overwhelmed and impressed by the decorations inside, so he won't be having that khushu'a in his heart, that feeling of fearing Allah Azza wa Jal, the fear of glorification to Allah Azza wa Jal. He gets distracted by the decorations inside the mosque. This is disliked. It's not forbidden, it's disliked. However, amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment is that people will compete in decorating mosques. And the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned that a person would go to a mosque and he can barely find one person praying inside the mosque with khushu'a. Look now, many people who go to the mosque to pray, they pray quickly, then they go back to work. And maybe while they are praying, they are thinking of work. They want to finish quickly to go back to work. So they are distracted. So you can barely find one person in a mosque who is praying with khushu'a. We ask Allah to grant us al-khushu'a in our prayers. That's something we need to work for it. We need to work for it. It was said to Abi Hazm once, one of the righteous Muslims, "Oh Abu Hazm, why we hate death?" They feel that whenever death is mentioned, they don't feel comfortable when they hear the word death. He said, because you built your dunya and destroyed your akhirah. And one doesn't like to move from buildings to destruction. Then they said to him, "So what's going to be our situation in the hereafter? Tell us about our situation in the hereafter, how it's going to be." He said, weigh your deeds in the scale of religion. And recite this verse, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. The righteous will be in enjoyment, in paradise. وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. And the non-believers will be getting tortured in hellfire. Then they said to him, how do you pray? And that's what I wanted to mention. He said, when it's the time for the prayer, I go and make wudu with all the integrals and the recommended matters, as the Prophet ﷺ used to make his wudu. Then I would stand to pray. I would make takbir with humbleness to Allah Azza wa Jal, submission, full submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. I recite while reflecting upon the meanings of the verses. Then I bow for ruku' and sujood with humbleness and submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. And I would imagine the Kaaba in front of my eyes. Paradise on my right, hellfire on my left, and the bridge as-sirat underneath my feet. Then I would finish the prayer by making as-salam, and my eyes will be filled with tears. Imagine we pray that type of prayer. Those who were listening, they said, for how long you've been praying such a prayer? He said, for 40 years. For 40 years. Then the one who asked him said, I wish I can pray one prayer in my whole life like this prayer, and I'll be amongst the winners in the hereafter. For 40 years he used to pray in that way. But now we are preoccupied with worldly matters. And that shouldn't happen. If you find yourself, it's hard for you to get up and pray, that means you have a problem. You should work on it. Now look how some people, subhanAllah, say if they feel a bit of pain in the heart, the following day they take a day off. They go to the doctor, they do CT scan, they do MRI, whatever. They chase it up. And they put that machine, they sleep with it to monitor his heartbeats and the like, and it might take, you know, 1 week. They wanted to make sure the heart is functioning in a proper way. But when they want to pray, if they feel they need to force themselves to get up and pray, or they don't pray unless their parents tell them, get up and pray, you don't have enough time, they keep telling them, so they can get up in the end and pray, they need intensive care. Not normal doctor or specialist, they need intensive care, ICU. Because those people in such a situation, that means the heart has blackened. Because when this heart is blackened, there's a black layer on it, that's when you start feeling, if you want to perform an act of worship, you find it difficult, hard. But if they tell you, let's go clubbing and the like, you feel that you are ready to go. It's very easy for you to go. That means you are in a very dangerous situation. So monitor your heart closely. Make sure your heart is healthy all the time. Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that if the heart is healthy, the whole body will be healthy. Because it's the commander of the organs and the limbs. And if it's corrupted, the whole body will be corrupted. So you have to monitor your heart closely. Otherwise, trust me, bit after bit, you drift away from the path of righteousness. Even sometimes without realizing. You might start with 1 degree. With 1 degree. Then after a while, you find yourself at 180 degrees from the right path. So don't take it with leniency. That's why don't say this is a minor sin, I'm going to do it once or twice. Think about whom you are disobeying. You are disobeying the Creator. So don't say it's a minor sin. You are disobeying the Creator, the one who created you, the one who gave you all these endowments. Just imagine if someone in this life, you came to this country and you had not even 1 cent in your pocket, and he said to you, don't worry, I'll look after you. He purchased a house for you. This doesn't happen. I'm saying, theoretically, he bought you a house, built you a car, and he found a girl for you, and he paid for all the wedding expenses, and he found a business for you, he bought a business for you, and he made you the manager for that business, and all these things. Imagine he gave you all that and he didn't ask you for one thing. After that, I'm sure if he calls you and he says, I need you, you will run to see what he wants, because he gave you a house, a car, whatever, what we mentioned. So what about, brothers, the Creator who gave you all these endowments? You can see, you can hear, you can walk. If you are a father and you are a mother, you know how much you appreciate it and like it when your baby starts talking and your baby says to you, Mom or Dad, you hear it for the first time. It's very touchy. You love to hear that word. Imagine you are deaf. You can't hear it. Imagine you are blind. You can't see your child. So this is one example. So if you were to count the endowments of Allah bestowed upon you, you won't be able to count them. The endowments of Allah are uncountable. So you need to thank Allah Azza wa Jalla. You must thank Allah, meaning not using these endowments in disobedience. Use these endowments to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. Also amongst the signs of the Day for Judgment, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the excessiveness of earthquakes and tribulations. Also, this has been happening frequently. In the past, every few years you hear about an earthquake. These days, every year now you hear about earthquakes here and there and there. All these, they call them natural disasters, tsunami, flooding, whatever. The change of the climate rapidly, also amongst the signs of the Day for Judgment. So nearly all of them happen. For that reason, because we are at a time of all these tribulations, excessive killing and the like, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the one who remains steadfast on the acts of obedience at this time will be rewarded greatly with a reward similar to the reward of the ones who immigrated from Mecca to Medina when it was an obligation. You know, the reward for immigration was so great. The one who remains steadfast at this time, because this is the time of tribulations, seditions, excessive killing, corruption. Sins are widespread all over the world. You cannot find now a place where you can go and live there without people committing sins in that land, or in that village, or in that town. You can't find this, unfortunately. So corruption is everywhere. Sins are everywhere. That's why you are in a society filled with sins all around you, and they are like strong currents coming from this way and that way and that way. And you have to be steadfast. It's not easy. So that's why you need to hold tight to the path of righteousness. Otherwise, one current will root you out. And you find yourself getting dragged by this strong current. So you have to watch yourself. And don't say, I know myself. I won't do such and such and such. You know, many young men that we know went far away from the path of righteousness. And they, when they were advised and warned at the beginning, they said, we know ourselves. Although we are working in that place that is surrounded by corruption and sins, we know ourselves. We're strong. Like those who work as security guards for some clubs. And you know what they say at the beginning? I don't go inside. I work outside. Just I make sure they have the ticket ID, whatever they check before going to that dark place. Then later on, he starts working inside. They drag him. Then later on, they start drinking alcohol and committing fornication and the like, then taking drugs. Then you see this person after a few years, different person. Big difference between this person a couple of years ago and now. So don't think you are strong enough, because the devil runs in your veins as the blood runs in your veins. He has millions of plans to work on to make sure that you do not obey Allah Azza wa Jalla. He has plan A, plan B, plan C, all the alphabets. He has all these plans. So if this doesn't work, he moves on another one to drag you. So you have to be cautious. And don't say, yeah, this is just a sin. I'm not committing blasphemy. This is a minor sin. They start by listening to music. From listening to the music, they go to some places. From going to these places, they start drinking alcohol and so on. They end up, walayyazu billah, in a very miserable way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about a worshipper that was before this nation. He was Muslim and he used to worship Allah azza wa jalla. He used to pray and fast. He built this hermitage and he built a house on the top of the mountain. And he dedicated his time. All what he does, he might go to the market, buy some food, store it, and he would dedicate his time praying. But he wasn't knowledgeable. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about his story that it happened that the king of the time requested everyone to go with him to the war. And there were three brothers who had a sister. She was living with them. And they were called for that war as well. They started thinking, where can we put our sister? Who's going to look after her? They asked people and people refused to take this responsibility. Then they said, go to that worshipper, ask him. Maybe he can help you. They went to him and they requested if he can keep their sister with them. At the beginning he refused. When they insisted, he said, yes, I agree. However, she sleeps in my house and I sleep in that hermitage by myself, because I can't be in one place. That's at the beginning. And they said, okay, that's fine. And they agreed to be responsible for all the costs that would incur because of this manner, looking after her. They left her and they went. So that person, the worshipper, started going to the marketplace, buying food, going up. He would put the food outside the door of his house where she's living. He would knock on the door, then he would leave and go up to his hermitage. She would open the door and find the food in front of her. She would take it and eat it. After a while, the devil came to him and said, "You are putting the food outside, but why don't you wait until she opens the door? Ask her if she needs anything." He said, "I'll do that." The following day he went, he bought food, he put it, knocked on the door and stayed there. When she opened, now they are in a place with no third person seeing them. This is classified as khalwa, it's haram. It's a minor sin. She opened and he asked her, "Do you need anything?" She said, "No." Then he went up. He started doing this for a period of time. Then the devil came back to him and he said, "You're asking her and she's saying no. Maybe she's shy, she's embarrassed to say, 'I need such and such.' Why don't you go and check inside if she needs anything?" So he started going inside the house and he would put the food inside and would go up, eat by himself. Then the devil came to him and said, "You are placing the food inside and you're going up, eating by yourself. She's eating by herself. Don't you think if you eat with her, she will feel comfortable, tranquilled, because her brothers are not with her?" See, like how he's dragging him. Then he started eating with her, staying together, talking, laughing, until he committed fornication with her. And she got pregnant. After she got pregnant, the devil came to him and he said, "What did you do? Do you know what's going to happen now? If her brothers came and see her in that situation, they're going to kill you. Why don't you kill her? And when her brothers come back, tell them she died and I buried her, and they will believe you because you are a worshipper. You are known. People think he's pious, righteous, but he wasn't. He was ignorant, but he used to pray while being ignorant." So he took her behind the house and killed her and buried her in that place. Then he made a fake grave for her. After a period of time, her brothers came back. When they went up, they asked him, and he said she was crying, upset, and she was depressed. "You are away from her until she died. So I buried her in that place." They believed him. They went back home and they slept. In that same night, the devil came to each one of them and said to each one of them, "Don't believe that worshipper. He did such and such to your sister. Then he killed her and he buried her in that place behind his house." The following day, one of them said, "I've seen a very strange dream." The other said, "Me too." The other said, "Me too." Then they mentioned what they saw and they said, "We need to check up to see." They went to that place, they dug, and they found their sister slaughtered and pregnant. They decided to kill him. They went up to him, dragged him, they tied him around a tree, and they brought the sword to chop off his head. At that moment, Iblis appeared to him, in front of him, and Iblis said to him, "Prostrate to me and I will save you from them." So that person bowed like this, prostrating to Satan, Iblis, and this is blasphemous shirk, and they chopped off his head. So he died as a non-believer. That means in hellfire forever. He was a worshipper, praying a lot, fasting a lot, dedicating his time to worship him, but he was ignorant. And look how Iblis dragged him, bit after bit, until he made him die as an unbeliever, wal-iyadu billah. So the devil has many ways. So that's why I'm telling you, don't trust yourself. Don't be overconfident and you go to dark places and you say, I know myself. No, you want to be protected, come to these places, to the mosques. Attend these sessions. 1, 2, 3, 4, keep attached to these places. Because once you move away, trust me, a bit after bit, your heart will be hardened and blackened until you find yourself very far. Even if someone were to remind you, come to the lessons, you find yourself saying, I'm busy, I can't go, I'm tired, I come back from work tired, so I don't go to lessons. That's when you find yourself easy to say, I don't want to do this act of worship. But if your friends call you, we go into the city fishing, in that place, you will go. That is a very dangerous situation. So in this paragraph, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi mentioned that we believe in the signs of the day for judgment, such as, so he didn't give a list of all of them, rather he gave examples. He talked about the imposter that will emerge. The imposter will emerge one day, as we mentioned, at Dajjal. Some might refer to him as the one-eyed imposter. They call him in some books the Antichrist, because Christ, Al-Masih, Isa alayhi salam, will fight him, will kill him as well. Prophet Isa will kill the imposter. And Allah Azza wa Jal will give him, at the beginning of his emergence, powers. And that is a temptation, sedition. So people will be tempted by his powers. He will go, he will reach, let us say, a town or village. He will call them to believe in him. If they agree, they will have plants growing and gold and silver coming out of the land. If they say, no, we don't believe in you, they will have a severe drought. No plants, nothing. So they experience a starvation. That's why at this time the followers of Al-Mahdi will be at that time, will experience a starvation, while the followers of the imposter will be full. But Allah Azza wa Jal will reimburse those starvation, the need of food, with the praising of Allah they make. So by saying La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, that will be sufficient, that will suffice them. So instead of feeling that they are in need of eating and drinking, they make zikr and that will be sufficient. At the time of Al-Mahdi, while he is in Syria, in Damascus, next to the white minaret, Isa alayhi salam will descend. And that will be at the Fajr time, when Al-Mahdi is prepared to lead the Muslims in the prayer. Then, when he sees Prophet Isa alayhi salam descending and leaning on two wings of angels, he steps back, allowing Prophet Isa to lead the Muslims in the prayer. But just for the first time, Prophet Isa will say to him, you pray, Imam. You lead us in the prayer. And that is for a wisdom. Prophet Isa alayhi salam wants to make people realize that he is not coming with the new rules. Rather, he's going to be following the rules revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after this time, Prophet Isa will lead them in the prayer. Then Prophet Isa alayhi salam will be told by the believers about Ad-Dajjal, the imposter, and they will chase them to Palestine and will be able to reach him in Bab Lud. That's a place in Palestine. Now it's existent as well there. He will find him there, and that when Ad-Dajjal will lose all his powers, will dissolve as soul dissolves in water. Then Prophet Isa alayhi salam kills him. After that, all the non-believers on earth will die. None will remain alive. Allah will give Prophet Isa alayhi salam an extraordinary thing that the non-believers within the range of his sight will die. So all the non-believers will die and only the believers will remain alive. And that one, also the earth, will bring out all its treasures. Imagine how many there are, will bring him out. Everyone becomes rich at that time. To an extent that the Prophet ﷺ said that you won't find someone who is in need of a donation. So you won't find someone who would accept the donation. Everyone has a big amount of money. So if you want to make donation, no one would accept it. Everyone is sufficed. Then after that, Prophet Isa dies. They bury him next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, subhanallah, people will go back to sinning, from sinning to blasphemy, until a soft wind will come under the armpit of each believer, will take his soul out, and all the believers will die, and only the non-believers will remain alive. The non-believers will live on earth for a period of time, about 100 years, killing each other, robbing each other. And that when, as the Prophet mentioned, a person from Ethiopia will go to Mecca and will destroy Al-Kaaba. So Al-Kaaba will be destroyed before the day of judgment. And Al-Qur'an will be lifted from earth. Until, that's after 100 years, from that wind, Angel Israfil alayhi salam blows in the horn, that's when everyone dies. And that's what they call the doomsday. That's the end of the world. That's the end of the world. That's it. So we're not here forever. That's why we need to remember this every time. And when we learn about the signs of the day for judgment, subhanallah, we prepare ourselves for these signs, because inshallah we'll give you some lessons in detail about this, what to say at the time of Ad-Dajjal to be protected from him, and what happens when Gog and Magog will appear, because also there is the smoke that will descend from the sky, the fire that will emerge from Adan in Yemen, also about the landslides that will take place. It's like an earthquake, three of them. The earth will split open, will swallow whoever is above it. Three of them will happen, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabic Peninsula. And when Dabbatul Ard, that beast animal, the earth beast, will appear as well. And it has the staff of Prophet Musa alayhi salam and the ring of Prophet Sulaiman. And when it emerges on that same day, the sun rises from its west. You know, it goes from east to west, then from east to west every day. On that day, subhanAllah, it goes to the west, then it will be ordered to come back in the same way. So it will come back from west to east. People in the east will be waiting for the sun to rise. They don't see the sun. Just imagine this. You wake up in the morning, no sun. You are expecting the sun to rise, you don't see it. So people will get scared and that on that same day this earth beast will emerge, will chase everyone, and that when the repentance is no longer accepted from anyone. The sinner remains a sinner, the non-believer remains a non-believer. And it will mark a sign on each person. It makes the face of the believer bright, and it smashes the nose of the non-believer. So they know each other from these signs. So we need to be prepared. We shouldn't be, you know, preoccupied with the worldly matters. That's why even if you work, you want to have some fun in this life, within the halal guidelines, you remember that you are not here for that purpose. You are here to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us steadfast on the path of righteousness and make our end as pious Muslims. Ameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.